This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It is Tuesday, so Brian Wheeler joins us live in studio, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org. And also, this is, Brian, this has become Pi Day. As a result of a few weeks ago, we started a Pi discussion. And it really, I guess today makes it official, the fact that Kathy has literally brought pies. So now we have pies on Pi Day.
We have pies sitting right here in front of us. And Coy, I wish I could say I planned this whole thing out and I knew it would turn out like this, but I didn't.
I sort of like it. This is a nice weekly tradition. Spread the word. You want to bring some pies by on Tuesday? That's great. Kathy Carson joins us live in studio, the bearer of pies. Kathy, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's very sweet of you to do this. Now, tell us first what we're looking at. The one on the left, I think that's sweet potato, right?
That's a homemade sweet potato pie from Wayside down at Fry Springs. The owner, Calvin Cummings, is a former student of mine, and then I had his son a couple of years ago.
Now, you taught in the Charlottesville school system for a long time, right?
I started at Buford in 1975 and moved to the high school in 1984, and I retired in June, but I'm back half-time as a kind of SOL tutor.
Oh, wonderful. And that's where you're going when you finish up here,
I'm
right?
I'm going to Piedmont. I also work at Piedmont. I work with the people that don't have a little trouble on the placement test, math test, and they have to take my review math algebra course before they can take the college-level course.
What makes a great teacher, Kathy? What is it?
I think you have to be able to walk in a classroom on the first day and just say that you think everybody's going to do fine. And you almost have to be a cheerleader, because if you don't make it interesting and the attitude is as important as anything else you're doing. I'm like a math cheerleader, and I'll tell anybody that I'll start from scratch and, you know, we'll just work on this until you get it.
Yeah. So the number one thing, if I hear you right, is not just the skills of the teacher, but if you walk in and have faith in your students that they can and will do well, if you do right, then the skills will just come.
Well, for most people, there are a few people I think might have been born without a math gene, but they're rare, and they can still learn something. You have to have both, but if you come in with the material without the motivation and the personalization, you might not get to the material. You have to make a connection first. And the younger they are, the bigger the connection has to be. And math is something that a lot of kids don't like. So if you don't make them think they can do it and I tell stories. I was in the Peace Corps in Jamaica for 2 years. I happen to have seen Bob Marley, and that makes everybody love me at that level.
Yeah.
And then I was at St. Louis in a desegregation program for 2 years. So I did all of that before I came back to Charlottesville. So I just tell war stories.
Yeah, yeah. And so now what makes a good pie? A big stick of butter?
What makes a good pie is... who used to say this to me? It makes you want to smack your mama when you taste it. I actually am an expert on chocolate chip cookies and used to make them all the time.
And that's what that pie is, right?
But it's so much better, because cookies you have to time. And this, actually, you put it all together and it goes in the oven for an hour. And when every single person that tastes it has either wanted the recipe, or one of my friends at the high school got down on his knees and kissed my hand because I gave him a piece of it. And
I'm going to smack Coy if he doesn't let us start eating.
All right, let's try it. I'm going to try this sweet potato pie
first. Okay, yay.
Okay, me too.
Okay.
All right. Sweet potato pie from Wayside.
Oh, man.
God, that's good.
Mmm.
Oh, man.
Very moist.
Oh, when this smack
tasty.
I'm going to smack it.
That is good.
Yeah.
It's really moist.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Now, the other one is so rich.
All right, pass me that so I can just get a bite out of that chocolate chip pie. And this is yours, right?
This one looks like a giant chocolate chip cookie.
It came from a bed and breakfast.
This is good stuff.
A bed and breakfast cookbook that my cousin had up in Pennsylvania.
This will keep you regular.
Do we cleanse our palate between these?
Yeah. We have water.
Yeah.
I said I wasn't going to talk about pie and water today.
And here we are.
Now I've done both.
All right. No, I'm just telling
here goes
you,
here goes the chocolate chip pie. Oh. And this is yours, right?
This is mine.
Right from your kitchen.
Right from my kitchen this morning, actually.
Mm.
Man. Oh, glory.
I'm telling you, it's rich. A religious experience.
Glory.
There you go.
Hallelujah.
Oh, man.
Fantastic. We're going to need some traffic control out there on the road.
And it's even good, if you get it
really, really, really good.
Stay straight out of the oven, warm with some ice cream on it.
Oh, yeah.
And makes when
me
I tell you.
Take my shoes off and lay down.
Have you got a second for me to tell you how easy this is?
Really quick, yeah.
It's just like a bunch of stuff you mix together and you put it in. Oh, I'll tell you the other secret is they now make.
God, it's good.
They now make shortbread pie shells. So instead of graham cracker or regular, you can actually buy a shortbread shell made by Keebler, which makes the cookie all the way through.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that how you did this one?
I did. I used a shortbread shell, and then the rest of it, it's like two eggs beat up, half a cup brown sugar, half a cup of white sugar, half a cup of flour, beat that in, cup of butter, cup of chocolate chips. And I chose not to, but you can put a cup of pecans, throw it in the oven for an hour, and bam.
Yeah,
I mean, it's that easy.
You know who, I remember back in the days when I worked at the Virginian, they made a mean chocolate pecan pie.
Yeah.
I think it was held over from the Marianne Parr days.
I believe it might be.
From the 70s.
Yeah.
Good
but
stuff.
I also use mini chips, which means there's a lot more chips in each bite than the big ones. I use the little tiny ones.
Yeah,
that would be the other. So scale of 1 to 10, that's like a 10.
Oh, that's a 10 pie right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that sweet potato pie is
it's
a 10.
Good.
10
it is
sweet
too.
Potato.
It is too.
Yeah, that's better than the ones you get from like Whole Foods.
Yes.
You know, because that's usually where I would pick one up. That's much better.
It's
much moister.
Yeah.
Very good. Kathy, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
And if I think of a different kind, I'll come back again with a
and
different
thank you as well to Calvin Cummings at Wayside,
nice.
Old Virginia Fried Chicken down there in Fry
He's
Spring.
He's a great guy.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Very good stuff. Kathy, thank you very much.
Right.
I appreciate it. You take care.
Bye-bye.
And there's Kathy Carson, a longtime teacher in the Charlottesville City schools, and a lot of folks know Kathy, and she makes a mean pie. Which one's your favorite? If you
I
had
like
to be stuck on an island with a pie.
I don't know. I couldn't. You couldn't separate me from either of these at the moment.
I talked to Allison during the break. She said, don't eat them all. Bring them home.
My faith in our pie-making skills is going up, Coy. So I think this adventure we're on is a good one.
This is good stuff. So just spread the word Fridays at 5 o'clock. We will try your pie. Certainly. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now, thanks to the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. If you want to get involved with the show, feel free to comment on our blog at sevillepodcast.com.
Indeed, Pi Day has sprung here. It's Tuesday, Pi Day. Jacqueline Pimarini is live in the newsroom to try some of the pie. You're trying both of them, right?
I know. Yes. Yes. They're fabulous.
The word
trying
is
to make
like,
me gain 300 pounds.
The word is spreading down the hall. Hey, they got pie over in Studio A.
She only got one piece, and then you made her go back and get another.
Well,
boy.
She only had the sweet potato. I wanted her to get some of the chocolate chip, too.
I can gain 300 pounds. I'm in radio. You can't see me when I get fat.
She said there's a cup of butter in that chocolate chip one. A cup.
Why are you telling me these things?
An entire cup.
I never read the labels on these things.
I think there's some secret ingredients in that chocolate chip one, too.
It's good. It's really good. Mm-hmm. So earlier I was talking about how the big news is going to break tomorrow. Well, evidently it has already broken. And I just want you to be sure that stay tuned with us and keep listening. At the local news break at the bottom of the hour, our own Jacqueline Pimarini is going to share the news with you right here on WINA, news that recently broke in another outlet here in town, and we're very excited about this news, and I want you to hear about it. So Jacqueline will share that news with listeners here in just a few minutes in the news break at the bottom of the hour. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can learn all you need to know online at sevilletomorrow.org. And where should we begin? Do you want to transition in wit and pies? Is there some link?
I'm having a little trouble thinking clearly at the moment.
Well, you're all like sugared up.
No. Let's start on East Pan Tops.
Yeah, big. I went to sevilletomorrow.org this week, and I saw, because I got my email alert, and so I linked over there, and I saw this story. There's this huge new, somebody's thinking about building a huge new sports facility over on Pan Tops there.
Just on the other side of I-64. So if you're heading out 250 and, you know, you've got East Peter Jefferson Place and the future Martha Jefferson Hospital on the right as you're heading out of Charlottesville.
And there's a
on
hotel.
The left. Yep, there's a hotel over there now.
You know, back in the early 90s, there used to be a comedy club at that hotel. Did you know that? Did you know that?
Oh, that hotel.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant the new, brand new hotel over in Peter Jefferson.
No, that's on
did
the right.
Did you know there's a brand new one?
I did see that one. Literally brand new, like they just opened it.
Right. No, so you're talking about the hotel at the interchange.
Yeah, just past the highway.
Shadwell interchange.
Yeah.
There used to be a comedy club there.
Yeah, just past the 64 on 250.
I have never driven up.
There's probably five people out there who
driveway.
Know what I'm talking about. Yeah, there was a comedy club in there. Hmm. I'm thinking 90, 91.
You know, we don't have a lot of that kind of development right at the interchanges that we have. I mean,
what kind of development?
Well, just a commercial building or, I mean, we have at Fifth Street, we have a hotel there.
Yeah.
But it's still limited. And so, you know, the 20,
it is. I didn't
20
think about
interchange
that.
Is pretty limited.
If you go out driving down 95 or 85 in America, every major interchange, there's like huge development around an interchange. We really don't see that in Central Virginia.
And you know, it's because we have a plan for that.
Aha. There's a plan?
We have the Interstate Interchange Development part of our land use plan.
I never knew that.
So the county has given this some thought. And what's interesting about this East Pantop Sporting Complex is that it's on the side where they said this is not a place for development. And in fact, the boundary between the Pantops growth area, which you recently talked with Clarabelle Wheeler about the Pantops Master Plan and the fact that her property was moved from within the growth area back to the rural area.
Well, against her wishes.
Against her wishes. Yeah. And then the other side of this boundary, the other side of the Pantops growth area, is at the interstate. So once you cross over the interstate, you're back in the rural countryside. So as far as the county's land use plan.
So somebody's proposing a big sports complex over there in what is zoned rural land.
That's right, on about 60 acres.
So they need like a special use permit or something.
Exactly, Coy.
See, I'm getting the lingo down.
Wow, that was good.
And that for which you have to apply.
You do.
And you have to make a solid case for this special use permit.
Right. I'm just going to be quiet here and you can you can do all the work.
And you run that flag up the flagpole and see if anybody salutes.
Well, and they're running that flag up right now. And it's going to a work session in front of the Albemarle County Planning Commission tonight at 6 o'clock. The public who is interested would be able to speak during the work session. It'll be later in the evening tonight. But there is an opportunity for public comment. But I tell you, this plan has the odds heavily stacked against it.
Against it?
Yes.
What is it? What is the proposal?
Well,
and again, just to remind people where this is, it's called East Pantops, but it's basically on the south side of 64 at the Pantops exit.
Yep, there's southwestern a little, corner.
Basically Shadwell.
Right, the Shadwell exit. And right now there's a, I think Arches Frozen Yogurt has a little store or an office right there.
There's little
two little commercial
complex.
Buildings. And they've got tin roofs.
In the mid-90s, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's everything behind that, or about 60 acres behind that.
Wow.
And so one of the things they're proposing is a large 93,000 square foot recreational facility. Now, to give you some sense.
Wow. As to like how big indoor that, fields?
Yes.
Man.
And let me tell you how big that is. That's 2.15 acres, I believe. So the building itself would cover over 2 acres of land. And the county staff pointed out that there are only 4 other buildings in the rural area in all of Albemarle County that are that size, and 3 of them are Albemarle County schools.
Holy cow.
So it's a big building.
Who's doing this?
Well,
or who's proposing to do
this? The applicant's name is Mike Harding, and the LLC is South Lego Farm LLC.
Who's this?
Well, I don't know a lot about the applicant.
And what's the idea? Big indoor sports complex?
The soccer community in town tried to get a indoor facility approved over on Polo Grounds Road up 29 North. They currently have the South Fork playing fields over there along the river, on the Ravana River.
Right.
So in the floodplain, the SOCA, S-O-C-A, owns land there, and they built an outdoor facility. They wanted to add to their portfolio an indoor facility. That is also in the rural area. Now, it's people, you know, look at that land and think, well, it's sandwiched right in between, you know, Forest Lake South and you know, the Sam's Club Walmart area.
Right.
Should be in the growth area, but actually it's not. It's in the rural area.
Interesting. So,
and the Board of Supervisors turned that down because they didn't think that use was appropriate. The building SOCA wanted to put in was less than half the size of this one.
So they've already turned down something that's less than half the size.
Right.
So, one of the reasons that you say this, something like this has a lot of things stacked against it.
This is also in the viewshed of Monticello. It's, you know, is not going to have public water and sewer out there. They also want to put out on 250 a auto dealership.
In front of it?
Yes.
Huh.
So now, and that's already zoned highway commercial. So
that could work.
Yep.
Mean an auto dealership on Pantops on 250?
Can you imagine that? The motor miles is extending.
Which used to be appropriate because it was the highway on the way out of town, so it made a lot of sense, but now it's sort of in town.
But, you know, this land, you know, back in 1980 during the great rezoning of Albemarle County, that's when this land was taken from commercial business and made rural area. A strip of it was upzoned to highway commercial right along the highway there. But now the big question for the community and for the Planning Commission tonight is, would a use like this be appropriate on this part of our rural
country? Do we want a 2-acre building housing indoor soccer fields?
And I think a lot of people in the community want more sporting facilities.
Yeah.
So I don't think, you know, that's not really the question. The question is this the right place to put it?
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. It is Tuesday, Growth, Development, and Pie. And Brian, of course, the Daily Progress breaking the news this afternoon on their website. I'm sure there'll be an article in the paper tomorrow. And Jacqueline P. Marini of the WINA Newsroom shared the news with listeners just moments ago that Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress has been named the new executive director at the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership at the University of Virginia, of which you are a graduate.
I am. That's very exciting news, Coy, and a huge loss for the Progress.
Yeah.
Big gain for the Sorensen Institute.
Yep.
But certainly his work will be missed in our local newspaper.
Yeah, it's going to be strange not to see Bob Gibson in the Progress, but as I work at the Sorensen Institute, of course, during the day, and I am doing backflips. I think this is fantastic news. And I could not be happier. It's a great honor and going to be a lot of fun to work with Bob, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Can't wait to see what he does.
So let's get back to growth and development news. What's the latest on the Fifth Street Mall? What do we call it? Does it have a name? The future home of the Home Depot?
Fifth and Avon Center.
Avon Center.
Fifth Street and Avon Center.
And it's down Fifth Street behind the Hardee's.
Yep.
All those woods will be gone, most of them. And there'll be a huge new shopping complex in there.
That's good to go.
And that's been approved.
Yep.
So all they need is like a construction permit, or because you get your okay to from the Planning Commission and then the board, and then you have to go back to staff and get some kind of permit, right?
Right. What they've got now is the preliminary rezoning for that property, and they'll come in and bring a final site plan at some point when they're ready to actually do it. And it sounds like, you know, although most developers talk like they're ready to break ground, you know, pretty quickly on all of these projects. Of course, the local market really dictates when they actually do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, this, again, as we've talked about on the show, I think is bringing retail and commercial business to a place that's been underserved, the southern part of the county, and it's at a very convenient location right off I-64. So this could be one that moves along much quicker than, say, for example, the retail development up at North Point, up on 29 North past 84 Lumber, because you've already got a lot going on at Hollymead Town Center.
Right.
So and you've got things happening up in Greene County now.
Yeah, there's going to be a Walmart and a Lowe's up there.
That's right. So, you know, it depends where it is in the county, and this one seems to be in a sweet spot and may move faster than others. But the
you know, all those folks down there at Mill Creek and Lake Renovia, they're psyched. I used to live down there. I'd be just so totally psyched to see a big new mall right there.
And one of the components of this project is what's known as the Bent Creek Parkway that'll connect Avon Street and Fifth Street and allow, you know, another parallel road connection that makes it a lot easier for people to get around. There's some issues on the property. There's an old landfill that we've talked about. The old city landfill is on the property. It's been covered up. But if you walk along Morris Creek there, and once I did that by mistake, I was looking for the Ravana Trail and I got lost. I didn't run into any razor wire, but I did run into the dump, and you can see cars and dishwashers sticking out of the side of the hill.
No kidding.
Oh yeah.
Holy cow, because the land right where they're going to build it goes right up to Morris Creek, right?
Right.
So that's a challenge, not just the fact that there's a whole bunch of garbage under there, but it goes right up against the water.
Right, and this was before they put landfills in, you know, basically sealed envelopes, you know, underground. So who knows what's leaking out of this thing. But the county wanted to make sure that if they put a road, the developer's proposing a road over it, you know, to connect over to Avon.
Yeah.
And the county said, just make sure that's not our road. You know, that little piece of it's going to be a private road and you're responsible for it, if anything.
Yeah. So they're going to build this new shopping center on the side of the old dump?
No. The shopping center is actually on the other half of the property,
so
closer to Hardee's.
So that'll just stay under woods.
The dump is closer to Avon.
Okay. Interesting.
And it used to be light industrial property. There's a big warehouse
up
there now.
Yeah, the old piano warehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting.
A few people have gone up there, but now it's going to be a whole different...
So do they have an idea when, I guess they don't know, when they might actually open a store there? It's going to be at least a year, I would imagine.
I think that would be premature to...
Premature at this juncture.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was unanimously
approved.
Not going to
do it.
by the Board of Supervisors.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. Getting a lot of updates about a lot of projects here in Central Virginia. And now there's news about Whole Foods, where Allison and I are often spend too much money. Anyway, what's the latest about Whole Foods? They were going to move to Albemarle Place, right?
They were. They were the first signed tenant going into Albemarle Place, and apparently they backed out of that commitment when Albemarle Place ran into some obstacles with the sewer connections and sewer capacity issues.
And then the developers at Albemarle Place backed out.
And now there's new ownership involved. And I haven't really heard a straight story about how much of the old ownership is still involved or not. I don't really know.
Yeah.
But there certainly are some new people involved. But, you know, the sewer capacity issue should be resolved next year, 2009. So that development's going to happen at some point.
Yeah, but not anytime soon.
Right. So Whole Foods was anxious to get a new, larger location. And they picked a spot over near the Kmart. So you got Kmart.
Uh-huh.
Gold's Gym,
yeah.
And then what used to be the Terrace Triple Theater, which is now gone.
Yeah, and the Focus Flea Market, don't forget that.
I don't remember that.
That's right next to the Gold's Gym.
It is?
The flea market.
Okay, well, I never go in there.
Focus.
But and then there was that little car wash place out on
Hydraulic. And that's gone too now.
That's gone too.
Yeah.
But why did those things go away?
Hillsdale Drive. Yeah, man.
It's going to connect straight through
there. A new road parallel to 29.
And connect all the way over to Pepsi Place.
And then go all the way up to the Putt-Putt.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So what's the latest on that?
Well, now what's happening is Whole Foods wants to get their store approved. They need some special use permits. They need critical slope waivers. They need some things from the city. This is in the city of Charlottesville. So the City Planning Commission, note, Whole Foods is now not going to be in the county. It's moving across the street, across 29, into the city. Into the city.
Interesting.
Yes.
Where would it be?
Well, it would be. That's a good question. We don't know exactly because there's not a site plan yet under review. So they have not put a building on paper that anyone has looked at, and that's one of the complaints of the City Planning Commission. City Planning Commission is being asked to approve these things, and they're saying, but wait a minute, we don't even know where it's going to be.
Interesting.
Well, what they're trying to do is figure out where to put the store in conjunction with Hillsdale Drive.
Right.
When Hillsdale Drive goes in, they need to move the traffic light, which currently is between Kroger and Kmart. So they need to move that. They need to close off that crossover there and move the light down to where Hillsdale will come into Hydraulic. You know how Kroger has a second entrance where you can
And the pharmacy drive-thru's right
that's
there.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the transportation planners would like that to be the main entrance from that side of Hydraulic.
Ah, and then they would close off the one that's at the top
right.
of the hill.
That's right.
And then that would be a big intersection where you could like turn into the Kroger or turn onto Hillsdale Drive. And then off of Hillsdale Drive, you could pull into the Kmart shopping area.
So the interesting thing here, Coy, is there's some right-of-way negotiation going on between the Kroger folks who are being asked to, you know, give up some a road connection here, to create a new road connection to help one of their competitors across the street.
Oh, to help a Whole Foods.
Right.
Oh, man.
So that's the intrigue.
So they got to throw a bone to the Kroger folks.
Yeah. I mean, and Kroger says they don't object to the application, but, you know, they're just trying to make sure they get
Show us a little love.
Yeah. They want a good deal out of this, and they want to make sure that they can still get deliveries and customers in.
Yeah, because that would be the road into the back. If the main entrance then off of Hydraulic is into the back part of Kroger, that's also where the deliveries come.
Yep.
And there's not a way to get around back on the other side where the ABC is.
No, there's not.
So they maybe need to have access over there as well.
But I think they can work that all out.
I can't picture where the Whole Foods would go, though, unless, and this is a rumor I heard, that when Kmart's lease is up, that's where the Whole Foods would go.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
That's a rumor. Okay. It's just a rumor.
I try not to spread this.
But that's, yeah.
But remember, Hillsdale Drive is also going to take out the other theater, the Seminole, on the backside of this.
Oh, place. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
If we don't have that many movie theaters.
Well, you know, Albemarle Place is supposed to get some additional ones in the future. So that'll be another future site for.
Yeah, but who knows when that's going to be. They got to make the toilets work over there. So anyway, all right.
That's the Whole Foods story.
The Whole Foods moving into the city over near Kmart somewhere, but nobody knows where yet. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, and the county also approved some new neighborhoods, right?
They did. an expansion of an existing neighborhood. We're back to the Pantops master plan here. Fontana Drive. You know, if you're heading up 20 from Pantops, and you could, at the light, you could turn left to go into Dardentale Park and the Elks Lodge.
Yeah.
Or you could turn right, and that's Fontana Drive.
Beautiful views from there, right?
Yeah, as you go up that hill. There are houses all over that hill.
Oh,
you
know? Man, they got great views of the Blue Ridge up there.
That's in the designated growth area. And Fontana Phase 4C was just approved by the Board of Supervisors.
They're going to build more houses up there?
Yeah. Well, this is a little 34-home expansion of Fontana. But what was interesting about it, and we have a good story on this up on the Charlottesville Tomorrow website, is the whole nature of interconnecting these neighborhoods. Because you had neighbors in the existing Fontana come forward and say, you know, we appreciate the things you've done with this plan to get better trails in place, but we're still concerned about more traffic on our roads. And the reason they're concerned is parts of their development were built before the county's neighborhood model. The neighborhood model asked for things like sidewalks and curb and gutter and street trees and those amenities that make it safe and friendly for pedestrians.
Right. So Fontana doesn't have that stuff.
Right. And so Cascadia is another major development approved a couple of years ago, over 330 homes. Actually, it's up to 330 homes. That was approved in August 2006. Cascadia is right next to this. It has not been built yet, but it'll be connecting there too. And Ken Boyd, when this came up and there was public comment about this, Ken Boyd said he was concerned about traffic because eventually Fontana will be interconnected over to the Giant Shopping Center. You know the Children's Montessori is? Not Children's Montessori, the Community Montessori.
I know exactly where it is next to that CVS.
So eventually connections.
Is it a CVS?
Or Rite Aid or something.
Yeah, one of those things. Yeah, I know exactly where it is.
So eventually these neighborhoods will be connected over to there.
Really? Interesting.
And he said, you know, when that happens, he's just concerned about cut through traffic. And that's what the neighbors are concerned about. So if you build Cascadia, will they want to go out to 20, wait at 20 and 250, turn left at the light, go up to the hill to go shopping?
No, you'll just cut through the neighborhoods to get over to the Giant Shopping Center. And conversely, if you get off the highway at Pantops and you're eventually headed 20 north, you don't have to go all the way down to the light there at the McDonald's and go right. You could just take a right and cut through those neighborhoods and get up to 20 that way.
So this is the interconnection conundrum, as I call it.
Yeah.
You have existing neighborhoods being challenged by new development coming in that the county is saying, you know, the new development's going to be better. It's going to have better roads, better sidewalks, but it needs to connect to something that's already there. Same thing happened out in Crozet. The Patterson subdivision was approved. Again, it's small, 10 houses, but it's connecting to Gray Rock North because VDOT said, we don't want you connecting out on the main road. We want you connecting back to this existing subdivision. The neighbors there said, we're not too fond of this.
Yeah.
So anyway, some of that's up there. And again, it points out some of the challenges we face as we try to integrate new neighborhoods with old neighborhoods.
Well, the good thing is that at least the county's going to have the discussion. I mean, nobody's coming forward and waving a magic wand and making the decision for everybody. This is an ongoing discussion, and hopefully everybody will be welcome to the table.
Yep.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow online at seavilletomorrow.org. You can go to the website and read about all of these stories we've been discussing there. And Brian, thank you very much.
Look forward to pie next week.
Absolutely. Pie Tuesday.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.